From Gimlet Media, this is Sampler, the show where we scour the internet for the finest, most fun, and most far-flung moments in the podcast world and share them with you. I'm Brittany Luce, self-proclaimed podcast aficionado and your host. One of the things that I like most about podcasting is that it's a medium that supports just total out-and-out obsession. Whatever you like, you have full reign to talk about it, however you want, for as long as you want, whether that obsession is the Grateful Dead, or like predicting scandal plot twists, or even picking apart the film Goodfellas literally 1 minute at a time. For example, if you're someone who believes that Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time period, you can listen to a podcast called Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time period. And don't worry, the show isn't just for Denzel devotees, or Denzelites, as they call themselves. It's about race in Hollywood. It's about acting. And they have great guests from the Denzel universe. If you're not a Denzel fan now, this show will definitely make you one. The hosts are comedian W. Kamau Bell and Last Week Tonight writer Kevin Avery. W. Kamau Bell is one of my favorite comedians. He's done a bunch of stand-up, and he's got one television show with FX under his belt and has another one on the way with CNN. But I first heard of him because of a show called The W. Kamau Bell Curve, Ending Racism in About an Hour. Here's a taste of that.
America wouldn't be America without black people, without all the different people. But black people, we are so much a part of America's pop culture. I mean, I looked it up on the internet. You know how much of America's pop culture we're responsible for? All of it. Rock and roll, the jazz, blues, R&B, gospel, pop, soul, hip-hop. We invented all of America's popular music without fail. Did I miss anything? Country. Yes, we invented country. And I can prove it mathematically. Country music equals the blues minus slavery. Two things to never ask a black person about their hair. Number one, can I touch it? No. The answer is no. It's always been no. It's always going to be no. The only reason we say yes is because you're our supervisor and it's a board meeting and everybody's staring. You don't need to know what a black person's hair feels like. It'll never come up.
So that gives you a feeling for the sense of humor that you can expect to hear on his podcast, which, in case you forgot the title, is Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period. And yes, the period is completely spelled out. Here's a clip from the show that really encapsulates the joy that Kevin and Kamau have when talking about their obsession. In this episode, they're reminiscing about how they bonded as Denzel fans in 2001 when they saw Training Day together. Just in case you haven't seen the movie, it's about a corrupt L.A. cop played by Denzel Washington who's training a new recruit played by Ethan Hawke. To give you the full Denzel experience, we've added some sound from the movie into this clip from the podcast.
I remember when me, you, and Dwayne saw Training Day in L.A.
Yeah.
At the Magic Johnson movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about this on the first episode. And it was one of the things, like, I saw Rocky 5 was not a good movie.
Yeah.
But I saw it in Philadelphia. So it was like...
Yeah.
If you're going to see it in Philadelphia. And so seeing Training Day in L.A. at the Magician Theater in a room, in an audience of black people in the side of town where they probably remember cops like that, where they probably know cops like that.
Yeah.
It was just electric. And I remember the moment where it's like the movie starts with like Ethan Hawke talking to his wife. And then he goes to the cafe or the coffee shop. And Denzel's just sort of sitting there with his glasses on reading the paper. And Denzel just sort of reads him the riot act in a very quiet way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get up. He's like, pay for breakfast. They get up and walk outside. And then Denzel goes to his car and they get in. And the Dr. Dre beat starts playing.
Bling, bling,
and the car
bling,
goes.
Bling.
Yeah. And the car goes. And all of a sudden the Hydrox in the car kick in. And the crowd goes, like the crowd in the Magic Johnson Theater were just like, you have made the perfect movie.
So clearly Kevin and Kamau are obsessed with Denzel Washington, literally down to parsing all of his personal affectations and categorizing them under an umbrella term simply called Denzelishness, which Kevin and Kamau describe beautifully here.
We had the walk, we had the lip. There's always a Denzel speech. I don't know if we put that on the list. I think those were like the three biggest.
Clearly, we need to refine the list. We need to actually write down the list. General, I think there was General Badassery. General Denzel Badassery, I think, was on the list.
Right, yeah.
Things that you look for to say, this is why he's the greatest actor. And also, these are the essential ingredients of a great Denzel Washington performance. And the thousand-yard stare is one of those things where he's either looking at something. A lot of times it's at a person.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the most intense dad disappointed with you stare of all time.
A few weeks ago, I got in touch with Kamau to ask him why a successful comedian like himself would pour many, many hours each week into a Denzel Washington tribute podcast.
I mean, that's a weird question. I guess it's like, why focus on the sun? I had always been a huge Denzel Washington fan since back to the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And every time you talk about Denzel Washington, people, they're like, oh, yeah, he's great. He's the best. Da, da, da. But they sort of forget him. And me and Kevin decided we wanted to celebrate him while he's still around enough to hear it and not wait till he's like 170 years old at the Oscars getting his honorary Oscar for you were the best. Too bad we didn't tell you sooner.
What do they say? Give people their flowers while they're alive.
I'm a big believer in that. And also, I think Denzel, and me and Kevin talk about this too, has a very important place as an African-American movie star.
So
it's not just entertainment. It's also, the podcast ends up being about diversity in Hollywood and what it means to represent the race. He literally got the baton passed from Sidney Poitier, and he's still holding it even though he's 60 years old. And everybody else is like, that looks good in you. We're just going to let you carry it. He does hold a very important place in a lot of Black people's hearts and minds. In a way that, and this is not meant as a diss, in a way that, like, I think Tom Hanks is awesome, too.
Yeah.
But it's not, white people aren't like, Tom Hanks is the great, like, it's just, he's just a link in a chain of Hollywood. And he's a great link in the chain, but he's not, in and of himself, he's not held as closely to the breast by the community the same way Denzel is.
No, it's true. You could actually, if you really felt like it, you could, like, wallpaper, like, the Taj Mahal with every Denzel Washington jet cover ever created. Like, you really could do that. Like, that's a thing that you could do.
I'm sure they probably have Jet Magazine have like a prerequisite. Well, we have to do six a year.
We are a weekly publication. Speaking of Denzel, there's something that you guys talked about. The fact that Denzel Washington is the only man of color to be voted People's Sexiest Man Alive, right?
Oh, yeah, that's me. I've been talking about that for years. The only other person who's not a white man, Cindy Crawford, was on one year. They did Sexiest Couple Alive. And so she's on a cover of one of the People magazine's Sexiest Man Alive covers. So it's been a white woman and Denzel are the only two people who haven't been white men. The reason why that's happening is because People magazine feels like they can't say it's People magazine's Sexiest White Man Alive with two very notable exceptions.
Yes.
Who was it this year? I can't even hardly remember. Oh, no, it was David Beckham. To me, that was the ultimate bit of, like, we're just choosing from white guys. Like, which is fine. But just put that on the cover.
I feel like...
Meanwhile, Idris Elba is on his worst day, like, with a stomach flu and botulism, is sexier than David Beckham.
So we're going to start the clip portion of the show, and we will start with a clip from your show. This one is actually from the Spike Lee episode. I really, really, really enjoyed the hell out of this clip. It's from a conversation about Spike's 1998 movie, He Got Game. That's about a high school basketball prodigy named Jesus Shuttlesworth and his relationship with his long-incarcerated father, who's played by, ta-da, Denzel Washington. Spike is telling you and Kevin a behind-the-scenes story of a pivotal scene where Jesus, who's played by future NBA Hall of Famer Ray Allen, is supposed to be his father in a one-on-one game. It starts with you asking Spike a question about the movie.
Well, and there's a famous story, and I feel like we've heard it from other people, but here from you, the one-on-one game.
Yes. All right. Another thing people don't know.
The name of this episode.
Yeah, I know, right?
With Spike Lee and another thing
you don't know, Denzel was on the junior varsity team at Fordham.
Mm-hmm.
And his coach was PJ Carissimo.
Oh, PJ got choked by Sprewell.
The one that got choked by Sprewell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Denzel, to this day, still thinks he could play basketball. That's funny. So in the script that I wrote,
yes,
Jesus is supposed to beat his father in a one-on-one 15-0.
Oh, as Ray Allen should be able to beat Denzel Washington. Yeah.
So, Ray, this is his first film. He thought, well, Spike wrote it. Yeah. So that means I got to win 15-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Denzel's like, fuck that. Denzel, I don't give a fuck what Spike wrote. Fuck that. Fuck Spike Lee, fuck the script. I'm scoring a basket.
Fuck Spike Lee, fuck the script. Fuck the producers.
Care.
Fuck the continuity director.
I don't care if this fucks up the film. I don't give a fuck. I'm scoring a basket.
Oh, my God.
So Denzel gets the ball, and he's throwing up some humble shit, and it's going in. And he's like, oh, I'm going to keep going. And then I think Denzel scored like 4 baskets, and Ray Allen said, timeout. Spike, the script said. And I said, right? I got nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I got nothing to do with this. I'm just watching the game.
And Denzel just scored another basket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ball's a moral victory for Denzel. Yeah.
Oh, I feel like you can see.
He scored 4 baskets on an NBA, a great NBA player.
A Hall of Fame, a future Hall of Famer. I feel like you can see when he scores that first basket, like Ray Allen go, wait, what the, who the?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're just sitting courtside again in another game.
Oh,
like,
what
I've
a
never
great,
seen a game like that.
Yes, what a great game to sit courtside.
The thing I really, really like about this clip is it shows how much people, like, love Denzel. On top of it, Spike really seemed like he was, like, a really cool guy.
It's funny because when I told people who know, like, people in the industry, like, who know Spike and have dealt with Spike, I was like, oh, yeah, we interviewed Spike. And they're like, oh, which Spike Lee did you get?
What?
Because there's fun Spike. There's also, like, fuck you motherfucker Spike, which... I think he gets a lot of time, which a lot of people get.
I've seen it, yeah.
He showed up 2 hours late. He let us know he was going to be late, but we were sitting there for 2 hours. So that suddenly it's like the tension mounts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks in by himself, no handler, no extra person.
Wow.
He doesn't say too much. And it wasn't until he sat down and we actually started recording and he goes, what's up, young brothers? And we all laughed that I realized, oh, he's here to have a good time. Like, that's when he let us know he had listened to the podcast more than one episode, and he referenced other episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand this, and I think he understands. The only reason this podcast can exist is because of the 4 movies that Spike did with Denzel.
Yeah.
Like Denzel's career is great without those 4 movies. Malcolm X, Mo Better Blues, He Got Game, those are regularly in people's top 5 Denzel Washington movies.
It's all, like, to me, it kind of felt like when Mark Maron interviewed Obama. And then he had, like, the entire, like, decompression session where he was like, okay, so Barack Obama was just inside my garage talking to me, like, no big deal.
Yeah.
What was the rest of the day like?
Well, it's funny. That's funny that you say that because we weren't able to decompress right away because after it was over, and he had mentioned before, he's like, hey, you guys want to come to see a screening of Chirac?
What?
And we were like, yeah, of course, yes. And so we got into a town car with Spike Lee and his driver. And we thought we were going to like a proper premiere or something.
Yeah.
But it was a screening room where they were still like doing the final editing touches on the movie.
Holy shit.
And it was a screening room, kind of like if you had a nice home theater, like it was a room like that. Me and Kevin sat down in these baller chairs, like all made from like unicorn hair and reindeer quills or something. And we sat there and watched Chirac.
That sounds like a Spike Lee fantasy sequence from like...
When we make the movie about the podcast, where me and Kevin play ourselves, and it's directed by Spike Lee.
Yes,
and
Denzel plays himself, yeah.
The walk to the Spike Lee screening, it'll be on that standard Spike Dolly shot where we're floating over the ground. I had to leave in an hour and a half into it, because I had to go be on CNN. I was on my phone during the screening trying to get out of it.
Oh,
but they
my
wouldn't
God.
Let me out. Because I was doing all these text messages and emails trying to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said no. And I was like a half second away from texting. Well, then screw all y'all. I quit the entire thing.
Like,
what
I don't
do you
need,
mean you quit?
I don't need this job.
That segment? No. The CNN show. Working for CNN. Show business. I'm just going to sit in this room for the rest of my life, send my wife and kids. We live here now. But I had to leave an hour and a half into it to go from like one of the blackest experiences of my life to a considerably still a black experience. It's Don Lemon. But let's be honest, it's not
a little different. It's different.
It's a different black experience.
So going back to the podcast, what surprised you most about doing it?
I felt like it might be a little bit of an echo chamber conversation, me and Kevin just bouncing off each other and people going like, who cares? But the thing that surprised me is how quickly we started to see an audience of people online sort of fan the flames of this podcast. We realized very early on that the podcast was bigger than even me and Kevin's individual contributions to it. Mm. That the audience would correct us when we said something wrong or disagree with us. We were not the final word on Denzel. They would be like, I happen to... People love Devil in Blue Dress. I happen to think it's okay, but that's not my favorite Denzel movie. Mm-hmm. And people were like, you are wrong. The best example of it is that this woman who reached out to me and Kevin on Twitter was like, I noticed you guys haven't gotten the Twitter handle for @Denzelitz. Should I get it for you or just leave it there? And then to this day, for like the better part of a year, she runs our official Twitter profile. And kind of in a way that's cool, like we will ask her to post stuff, but also it's filled with her own opinions. Recently during the live whiz, she tweeted something about how Common wasn't a good actor. And some black man was like, come on, brothers, you can't. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not us. I don't need Common coming after me. Yeah.
So, I want to play you a clip from another show. It's from a first-time podcaster who sounds a little like an academic, but if I say so myself, he shows a lot of promise. Let's call him Barry. The one interviewing technique he just can't seem to nail, though, is the asking of the questions. Have a listen, and maybe you could give him some advice. I'll play you a little bit.
And how do you think you ended up thinking about your democracy, writing, faith, the way you do? How did that experience of growing up in a pretty small place in Idaho, which, might have led you in an entirely different direction. How'd you end up here, Marilyn?
Now,
come out. You might recognize that voice as President Barack Obama.
Oh, don't quit your day job. Whatever job you got, sir, keep it as long as you can.
So a little background. That was President Obama interviewing novelist Marilyn Robinson, who's his favorite writer, and like someone he considers to kind of be like a moral compass in a way. So he was in Iowa on political business, but he actually took time out of his schedule to sit down with her and have like this really in-depth conversation. And like, don't get me wrong, there's some really beautiful stuff in there. But in between that is him asking questions in these ways that just like basically take forever to get to the point. Like, how did you start writing? Like, you could have just said that.
When was this recorded? When did they record this?
I think it was fall of last year.
Yeah, here's the problem. That's an interview done by a man who's like, what am I going to do about ISIS? Give Barack about a year and a half. His interview style is going to loosen up quite a bit. That's a dude whose BlackBerry won't stop blowing up with like, and here's another thing Donald Trump said. That's a dude who's thinking about like, Who's Secret Service? Like, you've topped the all-time threat list for a president. That's a dude with a lot on his mind. I bet if they meet again in a year and a half, he's gonna be like, ha ha, Marilyn, girl, you know what I'm talking about. You a good writer, girl. You know you a good writer. Come on,
Gillian,
give me a hug.
Was lit. Well, Kamau, this has been like an absolute joyous pleasure.
Thank you. This was fun. I hope I got at least three jokes in.
Yeah, I think we could pull out a smooth 2.5. The third one we may have to like crank it on home, but I think we'll be okay.
Sweeten it. Sweeten it in post.
That's it from the wonderful W. Kamau Bell, co-host of Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor of All Time Period, which comes out weekly on the Wolf Pop Network. Barack Obama's interview with Marilyn Robinson is from Soundings from the New York Review. And we'll put links to both those shows on our website, gimletmedia.com/sampler. That's all from Sampler for this week. But in the meantime, I'd like to hear from you. Send us a podcast or a moment from a podcast that reveals a side of someone that surprised you. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook or email us at sampler@gimletmedia.com. This episode of Sampler was produced by Chris Neary, Matthew Nelson, Rose Reed, and myself. It was edited by Alex Bloomberg, Peter Clowney, and Caitlin Kenny. This episode was mixed by Rick Kwan. Special thanks to Eric Mennel and Emma Jacobs. Our theme song was written and performed by Mike Avellian, and our ad music is by Build Buildings. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media.